We're continuing our series, Emotions for Better or Worse, and today is Lesson 10, and it's entitled, Created in Christ Jesus to Do God's Works, from Ephesians 2:10. This week my son came in. He's in a frustrating situation now of trying to decide or get God to show him his will for his life as to whether to go to grad school or to go into business. And so he came in at the table where I was sitting, and that's when he said, Mother, I think I'm ready to go to Australia. And I said, I'll join you, darling, because that was like at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon when I was trying to get this outline done. Panic. It was supposed to be in yesterday morning. So I really thank the secretary for typing this up. But anyway, that's the way I felt at that time. And the reason we say at our house, I think I'll go to Australia, is because of a little booklet that we had read. Have you all read this? Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Okay. If you have, you need to be remembering it. We have days like this, okay? I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingray car kit in his breakfast cereal box. And Nick found a junior undercover agent code ring in his breakfast cereal box. But in my breakfast cereal box, all I found was breakfast cereal. I think I'll move to Australia. In the carpool, Mrs. Gibson let Becky have a seat by the window. Audrey and Elliot got seats by the window, too. I said, I was being scrunched. I said, I was being smushed. I said, if I don't get a seat by the window, I am going to be carsick. No one even answered. I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At school, Mrs. Dickens liked Paul's picture of the sailboat better than my picture of the invisible castle. At singing time, she said I sang too loud. At counting time, she said I left out 16. Who needs 16? I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I could tell because Paul said I wasn't his best friend anymore. He said that Philip Parker was his best friend, and that Albert Mayo was his next best friend, and that I was only his third best friend. I hope you sit on a tack, I said to Paul. I hope the next time you get a double-decker strawberry ice cream cone, the ice cream part falls off the cone part and lands in Australia. There were two cupcakes in Philip Parker's lunch bag, and Albert got a Hershey bar with almonds. And Paul's mother gave him a piece of jelly roll that had little coconut sprinkles on the top. Guess whose mother forgot to put in dessert? It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's what it was, because after school my mom took us all to the dentist and Dr. Fields found a cavity just in me. Come back next week and I'll fix it, said Dr. Fields. Next week, I said, I'm going to Australia. On the way downstairs, the elevator door closed on my foot, and while we were waiting for my mom to go get the car, Anthony made me fall where it was muddy, and then when I started crying because of the mud, Nick said I was a crybaby, and while I was punching Nick for saying crybaby, my mom came back with the car and scolded me for being muddy and fighting. I'm having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, I told everybody. No one even answered. You ever have days like that? So then we went to the shoe store to buy some Snickers. Anthony chose white ones with blue stripes. Nick chose red ones with white stripes. I chose blue ones with red stripes. But then the man said, we're all sold out. They made me buy plain old white ones. But they can't make me wear them. When we picked up my dad at his office, he said I couldn't play with his copying machine, but I forgot. He also said to watch out for the books on his desk, and I was careful as could be, except for my elbow. He also said, don't fool around with his phone. But I think I called Australia. My dad said, please don't pick him up anymore. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. There were lima beans for dinner, and I hate lima beans. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath was too hot. I got soap in my eyes. My marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad train pajamas. I hate my railroad train pajamas. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. The cat wants to sleep with Anthony, not with me. It's been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. My mom says some days are like that, even in Australia. Isn't that cute? Let's see, where were we last week? Last week we said, let's recap, if we can. In fact, what we might ought to do is just start back. Today we're going to wind up on the needs of the personality that we've been talking about. Remember we said that when a child is born into a family, that the parents are in God's stead to meet the needs of that child. The first needs that they meet are the physical. Food, shelter, clothing. Meet all your physical needs. Then we said when the physical needs are met, then the personality, that unique you that you are, that temperament with its elements of mind, will, and emotions, has certain needs for it to be healthy. And this personality's needs are initially met by the parents. When the parents meet the needs of the personality, then next, the parents are in turn to direct that child to meet the needs of the spiritual, to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God as their Heavenly Father. And we said when a child grows up and he sees his physical needs met by his parents, he sees his personal needs met by his parents, and he sees in his parents by life, by precept and example, what it is to be godlike as parents, then we point that child to Jesus Christ, comes to know the Heavenly Father, and what does he see? He sees the true nature of God. He sees a God that's protecting. He sees a God that's providing. He sees a God that's loves you as you are. He sees a God that's got a purpose and a plan for your life. He sees a God that knows your needs, and he promises to meet all of them. Many of us, we said, ladies, grow up, and we think about God what we've thought about our parents. Maybe the parents were angry and explosive and didn't meet this needs of the personality to be safe, to be secure. Let me see if I can find that. I brought something on that to show you if I can find it. Because some of us today are still experiencing these unmet needs in this safety area. I guess I didn't bring the sheet. Oh, Diane. Maybe they're... would you all hold on just a second while I thought I put it in this group, but I guess I did not. Well, fiddle, maybe I'll find it as I go along. Okay, anyway, we said what happens then, backing up. Parents meet the physical, then parents are to meet this needs of personality. Okay, we said this first need of the personality was to feel safe, to feel protected, to feel secure. And we said this need was unmet if what? The parents were angry, explosive, dominating. They disciplined out of fear. The child, because the parents were angry and explosive at them and yell them at them all the time, felt real unsafe, real unprotected. And what does this person do as they grow up? As they grow up, this need has not been met. So what is their motivation for living through life? Their whole motivation through life is to what? To become safe, to become protected, to find someone who will protect them. To find we need a protector. To find someone then who is strong that will protect me. Sometimes we look for this in a boyfriend or a husband or somebody around us. And so our whole reason for living then is what? To become safe. Many of us, when this need was unmet, live every day as though life itself is overwhelming. It's so threatening. When we get up in the morning, we're almost afraid to venture out because we perceive the world as threatening, full of danger, overwhelming. And this is because, ladies, from this background of the unmet safety need, when the parents were sitting there yelling and screaming and ranting and raving at the kid, then that child, all he heard and saw was that the world, with these overwhelming big parents, is a scary place to be. And everybody around is bigger than I am, and everything out there is a crisis. When this need was met in people's lives, they perceive everything in their life as a crisis, as an emergency. Because when they were growing up, everything they did or didn't do, there was angry, explosive, somebody pouncing on them. And everything in their life then is perceived as basically a crisis or something threatening, dangerous in some extent. If the child was disciplined out of fear, what did we say happens? This person grows up, and in their life they may not be aware of it, but they experience a lot of anxiety in everything they do because they're afraid if they do something wrong, then their parents or friends or anybody are going to get angry at them or yell at them or scream at them or criticize them. Many of us, ladies, if this needs unmet, have a real fear of failure, not because of fear of rejection, not because of fear of inadequacy, but really because we feel unsafe, unprotected. We're afraid of punishment. Remember we said some of us may even be afraid to go return something at a shop. They might raise their voice, you know. What is my husband going to say? Or what are my mother and daddy going to say? And it's not a healthy fear. It's a fear of, I'm afraid of punishment or criticism or an angry response of getting yelled at or fussed at. And this person, when this need is met, as we said, goes through life being afraid of anybody and everybody. What are they going to say? Are they going to raise their voice? Are they going to fuss at me? Or what are they going to do? Why? Because that thinking as a child, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Well, see, this person never had this need for safety met. So they're still thinking and reacting to life as a child does. Mainly it hasn't been met because it's unconscious. We're unaware that there's even a need there. So first we have to see, hey, I have an unmet safety need. This need was never met, primarily because parents were angry or explosive or dominating. And so your whole reason for living then is, as we said, to become safe, protected. Someone who will protect me and keep me safe in my life. And that's our reason for living, to find safety, if that need has been unmet. And you, in your circumstances in your life today that are happening, you may think, oh, why am I so afraid? Or why am I reacting, overreacting like this? You need to pull back and say, Lord, do I have an unmet safety need here that you want to meet so that I can change my thinking from childhood, that is, every time I make a mistake, I'm afraid I'll get a spanking, or I'm afraid I'll be rejected, or I'm afraid whatever it is. And I need to see, hey, wait a minute, that's the thinking of when I was a child, 5 or 6 years old. That was my response to my parents. I'm no longer a child. I'm an adult now. I'm a big girl. The world is really not that threatening or overwhelming. I really don't have to be afraid of those people in my path. I can protect myself now. I can take care of myself. Besides that, I'm God's child, and He says, hey, I'll give you the wisdom on how to handle situations, and I'll keep you safe. I'll protect you. Fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. But what do we have to do? See what our wrong thinking is. I feel unsafe. Put it off and put on what? Our right thinking. Our thinking today. I'm no longer a child. I'm reacting in my thinking today as though I were a child, the same way I reacted when I was a child. But today, I'm an adult. I have new thinking. I'm to look at it from God's perspective. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm a big girl now. I can look out and protect myself. I don't have to be run over by everybody around me. And God says, hey, I'll keep you safe. And that need needs to be met. Because if it's not, ladies, then our whole motivation and reason for living is to get safe. And have you noticed if this need's unmet, then it's as though, have you ever... Everything you do, you make sure nothing possible could go wrong. We go over 25 times to make sure it's going to be done wrong and that nothing at the spur of the moment or at the final second could go wrong. Why? Isn't it? So that we're in total control. Because anything unfamiliar or unexpected happening, we respond as if to a crisis. It's an emergency. Is it? No. But we think it is. Why? Because we're still thinking and responding as though what? We were a child. And that thinking needs to be changed to, hey, that's when I was a child. Most of this goes to childhood thinking and childhood emotions that I'm experiencing today. This overreaction applies mostly to the past, not to the present. I'm to admit it, say what my wrong thinking is, put on my right thinking, my adult thinking, and then act in obedience to that. And every time we do it, what happens? The need becomes more and more met. The computer becomes more and more reprogrammed. The mind becomes more and more renewed. Why? Because we said the mind has two parts, the conscious and the unconscious. This unconscious thinking must come to the conscious so that we can admit it, put it off, put on God's thinking, and act in obedience to it. Then the mind is renewed, and not until then. And not until then is this need going to be met. Otherwise, we're going to go through life just trying to become safe. Okay, say the parents met this need of safety. They were not dominating. They were not angry. They were not explosive. They met all these needs. They diffused the fears. They comforted you. They disciplined out of love, not out of fear, etc., etc. Then you feel fairly safe, okay? You're doing pretty good. You're ready then, we said, to move into this area of loving relationships. Hey, it's safe here, so now I can venture out. You ever kind of, it's like we kind of check things out sometime, isn't it? Hey, let me kind of check it out, see if it's safe, then I'll move, all right? Child feels that way, and he says, okay, I feel safe now, you know. They move into the next area, free to have loving relationships. And we said in this need, next the child has the need to be loved as he is, not if he is. And if the parents love the child as he is, just for who he is, then this need is met. Hey, I'm loved just as I am. I don't have to do one thing to qualify to be a person of worth, to be of value, to be somebody. You see, ladies, we said there is a need to be in this area of the personality to be somebody special, to be of value, to be of worth, and the parents are to meet this need. We're somebody special because we're somebody special to our parents. Now, what happens here? If our parents did not, or we perceive they didn't, love us as we were, then we, from our parents' values, from peers' values at school, from teachers or preachers, we pick up ways that we see are important to our parents, peers at schools, and everybody else, ways in which we must qualify to become a person of worth, to become somebody, to count, to be of value. We saw a couple of weeks ago that we may look to our parents. What was important to my mother and father to be a person of value? Money, how they're looking, how well they do. We pick up and we say, hey, if that's what it takes to be a person of value, then that's going to become my goal because I want to be a person of value. And the need's not met with the child. Why? Because the parents aren't loving them as they are. The child must be doing something to get their love. Looking good, doing good, make those grades, win that tennis match, whatever it happens to be. Whatever is important to the parents, we tend to want our children to be just like us, to like just the things we like. And if anybody that's anybody likes what we like and wants to do what we want to do, right? Most of us aren't too sympathetic with our kids when they don't have the same interest we do. We may grow up thinking, boy, to be a manly man, you've got to be a quarterback on the football team, and your son likes music. Ooh, disgrace. And so what does the child grow up thinking? Hey, I'm not accepted just for who I am. I would really like to play the piano. But to get mom and dad's approval, I got to be a star athlete. So what happens? The child starts to become somebody else other than who he really is, other than who God intended him to be personality-wise, other than what God intended him to do with his special abilities. The child then becomes somebody else to get parents' approval. He becomes somebody else to get peers' approval, etc., etc., don't we? Because you see, to the extent, ladies, this need was unmet in childhood to be loved as I am, to that extent, you're going to go through life trying to get this unmet need for acceptance met by anybody and everybody around you. It's a legitimate unmet need to be loved as I am. And you know what happens when this need is unmet? Our whole motivation in life becomes what? To get acceptance. By how I look. If I look good and everybody thinks I'm looking good, I'm a person of value and I'm a person of worth, right? Now that's not all of our areas, but some of us it is. If I'm looking good, then I'm worthwhile. I'm accepted in my appearance. If my value as a person is in my achievements or how I'm doing or whatever it is I'm doing, then to be of value, I must be winning all my tennis matches. I must be making all A's. I must make that dress to look perfect. I must cook that gourmet meal and it turn out perfect. Whatever our area happens to be, if our value is equal to our performance, basically. For some of us to qualify, we saw, to be a person of worth or to be of value, it took money. I said, when I grew up, most of my value as a person was in my performance. But also from my peers at school, I saw you not only had to be looking good to be of value, you not only had to be doing good in what you did to be of value, but you had to be having money to be a person of worth, to be a person of value. And so what do? We go through life, whatever our area happens to be, by our appearance, by our achievements, by our affluence, trying to get that acceptance from anybody and everybody around to say, hey, you're somebody special. Hey, you really count. Hey, you're really of worth. Now, we said we run into a problem here. Why? Because the pride, the sin nature in us, has the same symptoms. The pride, the sin nature in it to say, hey, I want to be somebody apart from God. Hey, I want to be great. Hey, I love the approval of man. Hey, I love the praise of man. So what do we say in 1 Thessalonians 5:23? God says, I want you to experience the wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. So what did we say, ladies? Always we deal with what first? The spiritual, the sin nature. In total obedience to God's principles of putting off the sin nature and putting on the divine nature. Then we've said that if you still have a problem in this area of the emotions, then we look to what? The soul area. And that this problem, this need for acceptance, I saw in my life, I didn't just want it from my husband. I just didn't want it from my friends. I just didn't want it from those around it. The difference is, I felt as though what? I needed it. And this can be a legitimate, unmet need from childhood, ladies, to be loved as I am, not having to qualify or do anything for it. I'm loved, whether I do, whether I don't. I'm just loved as I am. And if this need's not met, what do we say then? We go through life always. Our reason for living is what? Trying to get it met. Okay, now, the reason I go into this is because today's lesson, this need of the personality that we're going to go over today, is the aim, the adequacy need. We've said the first need was assurance, to feel safe, to feel secure. The next one was acceptance need, to be loved just as I am. It was told us who I am. Notice on your lesson for today, God in His Word not only tells us who I am as the Father created me to be, this was in the beginning, but in the beginning, God not only gave me a position, He not only told me who I was, His child, I was special, I was the climax of His creation, I was crowned with honor and glory, but He also told me why I was. I was put there as His child, but I also had a practice, I also had a reason for living, I also had something to do. But then we saw in the garden, man sinned, rebellion against the will of God. Man was separated from God. He lost his position of who he was to God. He lost his practice. Why he was here, his reason for living, of why he was for God, because he was separated from Him. And what God has for us and who we are in God and what God has for us only comes into a relationship with the Heavenly Father, as we shall see. But then we see God in His Word not only tells us who I am, that the Son, Jesus Christ, redeemed me to be. You see that position we had initially in the garden, lady, man sinned, we lost it. Then Jesus Christ says, hey, I've redeemed you back to be the person, the young person, the mother, the father of God that I want you to be. I've restored who you are. I've not only restored who you are because you're a child of God, you have a whole new identity, you're a whole new creation, you're somebody special because you're somebody to Him, but He says, you're somebody special for something special. He says, as my child, you're not only somebody special to me, but He says, you're somebody special for something special. Next need. Why I am? All of us have this need, ladies, in the personality for a reason for living, for responsibility. It's the basic question. Hey, I'm a person of worth now, if that need was met. I'm loved as I am. Then I'm free what? To go into this next need of the personality. Hey, I'm loved as I am. I don't have to do anything to get love. Then I become free to move into this next area of the personality, which is the need for responsibility. This basically, what do I do? It's this need of being useful, Why am I here? What am I here for? It's this basic need of a child to say, hey, I not only am, I'm loved as I am. Okay, but now I am for what? You see how we move into the next need. Okay, I'm loved as I am, but now I'm ready for the next step. And that is, there's something for me to do, and I can do it. This is the need of the child. We also saw that God in His Word not only tells us who we are and why we are, but always, ladies, in everything we say, He makes it plain that the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it real to us who we are. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it real to us why we are, and it's the Holy Spirit in us enabling us to live and to do. Remember 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can but by the Holy Spirit. And I want us to see that our Christian life is becoming who I am and why I am in Jesus Christ. It's position to practice. He says, I want you to see, first of all, who you are in me. Remember the lesson on self-esteem? I don't have to become accepted in my appearance, my achievements, or my affluence. I'm already declared accepted. He said, you're God's child. You've got a whole new position. You're a whole new creation. You've got a whole new nature. He says, I want you to see you're loved as you are. Why is that important, ladies, that we see who we are in Jesus Christ, our position first? Because he says the next need, the need for a reason for living, the need for something to do, the motivation has got to be right. He says, I don't want you living the Christian life to get my love. I want you living the Christian life because you've already got it. I want you living and having a desire to please me, having a desire to be obedient to the principles of my word, not to get my acceptance, not to be good, but I want your motivation to be for this need in your life, for something to do, and I can do it, to be because you already are loved, not your reason for living being to get love. Big difference, ladies. If this need that I'm loved as I am and I know who I am in Jesus Christ is met, then I'm free for the reason God's put me here on this earth. If that need was unmet, then we're still going through life trying to get loved as we are. Okay? Say that need's met. Then when that need is met, then we move into this area. Hey, I don't have to get love. I already am. But now I'm free to what? Okay, look on your sheet under the area of personality growth. This is the need for aim and adequacy to life. The child now says, hey, I'm loved as I am. He has a need in the personality to know for what? For why am I here? Why am I here? There's a need in your personalities, ladies, for a function, a reason for living, responsibility. What do I do? As I said a while ago, to be useful. I'm not just here and good for nothing. But why am I here? For what? And plus the ability to do it. Remember we said in childhood that this need is not met, ladies, if the parents are overprotective. This is a need where your child, say, is loved as he is. Okay, he becomes ready then to see, hey, I am, but for what? What is there for me to do? And I can see I can do it. This is the area where parents were to give the child responsibility. Not too much, not too little. But to give them responsibility and then what? Help them do it. Encourage them. Be understanding. Be patient. Support them. Counsel them. Let them try a number of areas. Find the areas that are best suited for them. Not suited for you, but suited for them. And then, whatever their strong areas are, you encourage that child in that area. Doing chores around the house. He's got a responsibility. You show him how to do it, and then he can do it. It's this sense of, there's something for me to do, and I can do it. In his activities, may do dancing or music or athletics or whatever it is, let him try a number of them. See where his interests are. Ladies, many of us try to spread our kids too thin. They can't even find out what they can do and do well because we got them going into everything in town every day. Now, it's fine to take your kids and let them try a number of activities, but then find out where they're strongest. Find out where their interest is, and then encourage them, build it up. This is what we did with Bill and Cindy. We said, Lord, help us to find the areas they're suited for. They tried basketball, baseball, football, tennis. Man, they fell in love with tennis. So what did we do? We encouraged them. I threw a million tennis balls. I gave them tennis lessons. We let them play tennis tournaments. What do they do well? They're super tennis players. I've got something I can do, and I can do well. But it took the parents' assistance. Whether it's in their schoolwork, whether it's in their activities, whatever it is. Mom and Dad are there, though, to help guide me, help protect me, so I don't take on too much or too little. But whatever I'm in, they're going to support me, counsel me, guide me, love me, help me, encourage me. What? So the child can see, hey, there's something for me to do, and I can do it. A real need of the personality, ladies. Not only this, I am loved as I am, but I can. It's this sense of confidence. It's this sense of confidence. Hey, there's something for me to do, and I really can do it. It's this sense of adequacy that all of us have. Notice on your sheet, there is something special for me to do, and I can do it. I've got the resources to do it, the competency to do it, the confidence to do it, the adequacy. Why? Because the parents have given the child something to do. The parents have affirmed him. He's encouraged him. They've praised him. They've given him affirmation. They've given him loving counsel. They've given support, encouragement, rah, rah, rah. And so what does the child begin to sense then? Hey, I am somebody special for something special. But ladies, this need is not met if the parents are overprotective. Say all the needs of the personality have been met. Safety, love. The child moves into this area and says, hey, now I'm ready. I'm loved. Great. But for what? And the parents may be overprotective, overindulgent. And the parents that are overprotective, they do everything for the child. They don't let the child do anything for himself. Whether it's just easier. Some of us don't like to give our children responsibility because it's easier to do it ourselves. Right? Some of us are just very overprotective. I was talking to a mother a couple of weeks ago out of town. And she says, I'm not going to let him do this, and I'm not going to let him do this, and I'm not going to let him do that. I said, why? Well, I'm afraid. I said, lady, you're overprotective. You're going to make this fear more real than the actual fear itself. If you'd let him play basketball or football or whatever it is. But many of us, ladies, if the parents are overprotective, this need's not met. And so the child grows up, the parents does everything for him. And do you know what happens when he grows up? Very indecisive. He can't even make a decision. He has such fear of failure, not because fear of punishment or authority. Fear of failure, not because of rejection, but fear of failure because he's just inadequate. He's never done anything. He's never had to make a decision. Everything was done for him. So then when he grows up, do you know what the parents say? Hey, now you're 16 and 17. Why aren't you acting like an adult? Why aren't you coping with life? Why can't you handle responsibility? And the kid's saying, huh? I never had it. I never did it to know I could. But we as parents all of a sudden think, hey, what's with the kid? Can't cope with life. He's an adult now. He should be able to handle it. And you know what this person does then? With this need unmet, then he goes through life trying to prove to himself, to parents, to others, hey, there's something for me to do, and I really can do it. I really am adequate. And many teenagers grow up, and they either act out or act in. They act out in rebellion. They act in withdrawal, afraid to try anything. I know many of us, I was talking to a girl last week, she says, Diane, I was afraid to assume any responsibility. I would help anybody do anything, but I wouldn't assume responsibility for anything, because I might fail. She had such a sense of inadequacy. She'd never had responsibility before and seen she could do it. I have a friend that I went to lunch with, and she says, Diane, where do you want to eat? I said, I don't know. It makes no difference. I've eaten out a lot. You pick it. No, you pick it. Oh, come on, pick it. You don't get out much. No, you pick it. I can't make a decision. Oh, really? Why can't you make a decision? Well, I don't know. I just never made them. My parents made them for me. And many of us, ladies, in this need to have a reason for living, something I can do, there's something for me to do and I can do it. There may be something for us to do, but we don't think we can do it because we never did. Because it was done for us. Or maybe the parents were overcorrected. Some kids can try things and they just give up and assume they can't because the parents are so overcorrective. You can't do anything right. So you must not be able to function. So just forget it. Or do you know what, ladies, and this is problems today, some children have problems and never meet this need because parents are inattentive. Did you know many of us, as parents, ladies, give our children everything but ourselves? We give them everything money can buy. They got the cars, they're in the best schools, they're in the best colleges, and we give them everything but ourselves. You know what the kids want, ladies? They want us. even as teenagers, this need here. Hey, there's a reason for me to be here. There's a reason for living, and I can do it. It's like when Bill walked in last night, and he said, Mother, and I was trying to get the lesson, and he said, can we talk about this job situation? What should I do? What's my next step? So I put down the stuff, and I said, okay, darling, let's talk this out. What do you think? Ladies, I don't care what age the kids are, and mine is 21. They need access to us. They need access to us when they have a problem. And we need to drop what we're doing and listen. Which is more important? So I dropped what I was doing. Anxiety in my stomach. But dropped what I was doing and listened. And on the spot I said, God, give me wisdom and direction for Bill. And the words came. It diffused that anxiety. And he says, hey, I think that's what I'll do. Boom. Ladies, these kids in this stage, they have to face a lot of responsibilities. Our job is to help them see they can do it. They can cope. They can meet it. We're to encourage them. We're to give them affirmation. Many of us ladies don't give our kids affirmation because we think that if we give them approval or praise, they might get the big head. That's devastating. That's devastating. A child has a need for this approval in what he's doing to get confidence in himself, competency, adequacy, that, hey, I really can cope. That's the only way he knows he can see he can, is, hey, I'm doing right. Hey, I really can. And much praise and approval from our young people, from ourselves. You know, I used to think every time God had somebody give me a compliment, that it was pride. Well, when somebody gives me a compliment now, ladies, I deal with both. I know my sin nature wants credit for everything it does. And remember, we can admit things. We don't have to act upon it. So the first thing I do is say, hey, Lord, my sin nature, I know, is loving this. Because my sin nature wants credit for everything it does. Okay, I can admit this feeling, but I can act against it. I also know, Lord, I'm overreacting because I have a real unmet need here for what? Approval. For acceptance. To say, hey, Diane, you are somebody. Or, hey, Diane, hey, for something special. There's really something you can do, for you to do, and that you can do it. It's this need for a compliment or a praise in some way, as though it's affirmation to, hey, this is what I'm doing. Is it okay? I mean, can I really do it good? And God says, hey, this is a need. It's a need of the personality. It was intended to be met initially by the parents. But when it's not, what does he say? Good news. He says, I've got a purpose and a plan for your life. And not only that, I'm going to enable you to do it. I've got responsibility for you. And not only that, I'm going to be there to encourage you. I'm going to be there to cheer you on. I'm going to be there to love you. I'm going to be there to counsel you and to guide you, as we'll see today. Okay, let's look at this need for why I am. There's something for me to do, what I do, and I can do it. Well, let me say this before I forget it, ladies, in case I get to the end and don't forget it. I want to make this clear that we may have parents who meet all the needs physically of the child, who may meet all the needs of the personality for the child, may point the child to Jesus Christ, meeting the spiritual needs by precept and example in their lives also. And do you know what? The child can still rebel. You know the reason I know? Because of the garden. You see, in the beginning in the garden, perfect parent, God, put perfect man into a perfect environment. Now, man had everything perfect, and what did he do? He sinned. He rebelled against the will of God. So the insight we're going over, ladies, is just that. Insight. Dealing, first of all, with the sin nature, the spiritual. That's not met. We come to the needs of the soul to get insight there, which are non-sinful, and to let God meet them. And then we deal with the physical, whatever that is. Okay. This unmet need of the personality, or the met need of the personality for aim and adequacy, need for a function. What do I do? And I can do it. Let's see, I was looking on down the sheet. There are many people I've noticed in, not just in here or in any places where this need has been unmet. And when the church says, would you teach a class or would you help here or would you do this? Many of us will say, I really can't. I really just can't do that. And we're afraid of assuming any responsibility or trying to do anything for fear of failure because we do feel inadequate. We don't know how or whatever. Okay, let's look at the spiritual then. That's the natural background on this need of the personality for a reason for living, what I do, and I can do it. Let's look on your sheet. Then the spiritual. That's the natural. That's the part where there was natural sonship, born into a physical family with physical parents, with our peers, where we live today around us. But then when you and I come to know Jesus Christ, there's supernatural sonship. We said we have a whole new parent, the Heavenly Father. We say we have a whole new family, the body of Christ. And God says, okay, your parents initially were to meet that need of responsibility, something for you to do, and to enable you and to help you to do it. Okay, he says, now you come to know me? He says, guess what? Good news. When you came to know me, I have something for you to do, and I am going to do it in and through you. You talk about enablement, that's big time, isn't it? Let's look at this. God says, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and I become your Father, he says, you not only know who you are, that you're my child, that you're already accepted, that you're loved as you are, but he says, then you find out why you are. And this comes from your new parent also, who says, hey, here's your function. Let's just look at a few of them. One, God says, in your life, when you come to know Jesus Christ, you have a purpose, you have a function. And it's basically twofold. First function in your life is maturity. First function I want you to let me work in your life, the first reason for you being here as a Christian is maturity. Romans 8:28-29 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called, loved by him. Ladies, sometimes we miss that in that verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Check the next part. Who have been called. Those who are loved by him. Those who are beloved by him. According to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Timothy 1:9 says he has called us to a holy life. 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21 says, if a man cleanses himself from the sin nature, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 2 Corinthians 4:10-11 says, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. You see, ladies, what God wants us to do when you and I come to know Jesus Christ is he says, I meet this need for meaning and purpose to life and the ability to do it. And he says, my first purpose in your life is maturity. 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21 says, if a man cleanses himself from the sin nature, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 2 Corinthians 4:10-11 says, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. You see, ladies, what God wants us to do when you and I come to know Jesus Christ is he says, I meet this need for meaning and purpose to life and the ability to do it. And he says, my first purpose in your life is maturity. My first purpose in your life that I want to do is to what? Conform you to my image. I want to restore you to my image and likeness. Remember in the garden we said God made us what? In his image, in his likeness. That means that when God made you and I, ladies, he made us with a spirit, a moral nature, and he made us with a personality, with its elements of mind, will, and emotions. And God says, hey, when you come to know Jesus Christ, I have a purpose. And you know what it is? And that is, in the spiritual area, for you to reckon that sin nature dead and buried with Jesus on that cross, and you alive unto God's divine nature in you to replace that sin nature, he says, not only do I want Jesus Christ being formed more and more in you, living his life in you more and more as you put off the sin nature, but he says, also in my image and likeness you were made was the theory of the personality. So he says, I want the sin nature dealt with and the divine nature, Christ's life, coming to the surface in your life, controlling the spirit, which then in turn controls the soul, which then in turn controls the body. But he says, first of all, you've got to have Jesus Christ, the captain, your new captain of your life, in control. That's my purpose initially. Why? Because it's you under him that's going to control the soul, that's going to control the body. Okay, what does God say? I want to conform you to my image. I want Jesus Christ daily to become more and more your life. The Holy Spirit, the divine nature in us, ruling in our lives. But he says also what? I want to make that personality whole. Meet those unmet needs that are met. Why? Because your personality was made in my image too, with its elements of mind, will, and emotions. And I want that personality to be healthy. Why does he want our personality to be healthy, ladies, and to get these unmet needs met? Because guess what? It's my personality that Jesus Christ wants to live in and through here on planet Earth. You see, my personality with its elements of mind, will, and emotions, ladies, it's neutral. It's what is going to control my personality, the divine nature or what? The sin nature. And God says, this personality, this unique you that you are that's neutral, I want that to become healthy. Why? Because that personality is the agency, the means, the instrument through which I'm going to live my life down here on earth. And he says, I want it healthy. Because that then I can shine more and more in and through you. I also want it healthy, he says, because only as it becomes healthy and you get these unmet needs met, are you then free to become the true woman of God you intended to be. Why? These unmet needs must be met so that my personality is then free, not trying to become like everybody else. And you know, many of us are, ladies, aren't we? We try to become like everybody else. What is it? Well, let's see, that's looking good. I think I'll add that to my personality. Or she's acting funny. I think I'll start acting funny. Or somebody gets a compliment on being calm, cool, and collected, and I may move from being funny to suave and demeanor or whatever. Have you noticed? Always trying to add to our personality something that it takes that we like in somebody else. Not free to be the real you or to do that which you intended to do. God says, I want this personality healthy because, you know that unique personality I've given you? I want it to be free, as these needs are met, to be the real personality, the unique you that you are, not anybody else on the face of the earth. He says, not only that, I want you to be free to use that looks you've got, those abilities I've given you, the station in life I've given you. He says, I want you to be free, those abilities that I've given you, natural or supernatural, to be free to use them for which God intended, not using them to get unmet needs met. Is that clear at all? If it is, only God can make it clear. Okay, so he says, my first image is to conform you, my first priority, my first reason, your first reason for living, the first function that he gives you as a new Christian is to say, hey, this is what I want to do. Spirit, make you whole. Jesus Christ, become more and more your life. Soul area, I want these unmet needs met so that you can really be the woman of God I want you to be. And what does God say here, ladies? He says, as you let me become your life, as you let me make this personality whole, he said, then you become free to minister to those around you. You know, our problems, lady, is people say to me all the time, Diane, I wish I had a ministry. I wish there was something that God had for me to do. And I'll say, what are your situations now where you are? Well, you won't believe this. I'm a student at Auburn, and I got these mega problems. Or I'm a mother here, or I'm a whatever I am here, and you just don't know my circumstances, Diane. Things are tough all over. God says, wait a minute. You may not have my picture yet. Ladies, do you know what God uses in our lives to conform us to Jesus Christ, to make our personality whole? Needs. Needs. Are you thanking God for the problems you've got in your life today? You know what God says? Hey, remember the circle we said, peculiar people in Titus 2:14? God says, you're my child and there's a circle around you. You're the dot in the center. And because you're the dot in the center of the circle, when you're my child in the center of my will, nothing's going to touch you as my child unless it's been father filtered. So ladies, as Christians, whether we are students or whether we're parents or whatever we are, God says, you know what's going on in your life today, those needs? He says, they're from me. They're from me. They've been father filtered. Now, what does he want us to do, ladies? The needs that you and I have in our lives today, he says, what I want to do is what's in, I want to bring up and out. Okay? God says, this is where we deal. The sin nature may be acting up. We want to deal with that. Unmet need from personality, from childhood may be there. We want to deal with that. You may have a physical problem here. We want to deal with that. But God says, don't balk against the needs in your life. If you let me meet your needs in your life where you are today, what will he do then? He's going to parade half of Birmingham by your doorstep, those people with similar needs that you've got that you can minister to, right? People say, I sure wish I had a ministry. I said, look, let God be his all-sufficient self in your situation and to meet your needs and see you through it, and I'll guarantee you, you'll have a ministry. But ladies, we don't have ministry because we don't have our priorities right. We really don't care. We really want to go our own way and do our own thing. God says, my purpose for your life is to be conformed to the image of my son, first of all. And he says, you know what? That takes death. Death to what you want to do, death to your rights, death to your everything, and to put on my life. And when you do, you're conformed more and more to my image. And not only that, you know that area you're having trouble with your sin nature? You know that area you're having trouble with in your personality with that unmet need for safety or love or adequacy? He says, as I see you through these and as I meet these needs, then where will our ministry come from, ladies? From that. Why do you think I'm speaking on emotions all over? Because I said, hey, I got anxiety, anger, guilt, and some problems, and I'm just going to run from it? And God, why are you allowing circumstances in my life? No. I said, Lord, I don't understand why you're allowing all this. But thank you. Are you thanking God for what he's allowing in your life today, ladies? And asking him to work it for our good and to his honor and glory? Thank you that you're allowing these physical problems, Lord. Thank you that you allowed this, these unmet needs from childhood. Thank you that you allowed this temptation of this sin nature. Now, he wants to deal with all the areas. And when we let him, and then I guarantee you, phones are going to start ringing, people are going to start coming to your door saying, how do I deal with the sin nature? Why am I feeling the way I'm doing, and how do I meet it? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So what do we see? God says, hey, you've got a reason for living. The first thing I want you to do is to be conformed to my image in the spiritual and in the soul area. And he says, then when you do, then you're going to have some kind of ministry. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created, born anew in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ladies, did you know that we're not just sitting here with nothing to do? God says, I've got works for you to do here in Birmingham, Alabama, or Auburn University, or wherever we go on. God says, I've got works for you to do that I prepared in advance for you to do. I've got a reason for your life. Are you letting me do what I want to do in and through you? You know what Jeremiah 29:11 says, and this is what I shared with my son. This is what God says. You uncertain about the future? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a purpose. Isn't that good? Psalm 45 says, the things you planned, Psalm 45, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Okay, let's look at another scripture. Proverbs 20:24. A man's steps are directed by the Lord, How then can anyone understand his own way? John 15 tells us, ladies, I am the vine, you are a branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing that counts for eternity. And what do I have for you? To bear fruit, fruit that will last. Psalm 57:2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Isaiah 43:7, you were created for my glory. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. 1 Corinthians 3:5, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Ladies, each one of us here today, God says, I've assigned a task to you, for you. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 says, hey, there is something for you to do, and I'm going to enable you to do it, and I've given you a spiritual gift to do it with. Ladies, did you know that when you and I came to know Jesus Christ, that he gave us a spiritual gift, a gift that we're to use in the body of Christ to build up, to edify, to equip? And he says, you have the Holy Spirit in you that's going to enable you to use that gift in the body of Christ. If you haven't done any study on spiritual gift, you need to do that. Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own, for it is not for man to direct his steps. Anyway, on and on, God says, hey, I've got something for you to do. And guess what? I'm going to enable you to do it. You say, how? Many times, ladies, listen to this. God says, I want to mature you. He said, what you let me work in your life and mature in you, I want to minister to others. And we say, but how? Okay, listen. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Little power there. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works in us. Ladies, we need to see that God says, when I tell you to do something, I'm going to give you my power. Not only am I going to give you my power, but I'm going to equip you. If I can find that. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. May the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Another equips. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think that's, anyway, that's the gist. The scriptures are all on your sheet. Not only does he give us the power, not only does he equip us, but ladies, he counsels us. Do you know what he says, John 14, 16? I will ask the Father, and he will give you a counselor who will be with you to counsel you forever. John 14, 26, you have the counselor, the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you, counsel you in every way. Psalm 73, 24, you will keep on guiding me all my life with your wisdom and counsel. He says, hey, you want power? I'll give it. You need equipping? I'm going to equip me. You need counsel? I'm going to give it. He says, you need encouragement? I'm going to give you that. Listen to this, ladies, on encouragement. You need encouragement today? 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed. Romans 15, 5 through 6, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. Philippians 2, 1, believers receive encouragement from being united with Christ. Acts 9, 31, encouragement comes from the Holy Spirit, and on and on and on. Colossians 2, 2, Paul says that they may be encouraged. 1 Thessalonians 5, 10, 11, encourage one another. Ladies, you see, when we are encouraged, we're encouraged when others show confidence in us, aren't we? And we need to show confidence in others and encourage them. as well. Okay, we see, hey, I've got a purpose for your life. I want to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. I'll have a ministry, acts, those acts that I want to do in and through you. And I don't just tell you to do it and not give you the power. I want to do it in and through you, providing power, the equipping, the counsel, the guiding, the love, the confidence. Oh, this was a good scripture. You need confidence. You need confidence. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent. And on and on and on. So we see, ladies, here's this need of the personality. Need for being useful. A purpose for living. There's something I can do, and I can do it. And God says, hey, I got the reason for living. I got what I want you to do, and I'll enable you to do it. That will meet that unmet need. You talk about adequacy? You want adequacy? I've got exactly what you're to do as my child here on planet Earth, and I'm going to enable you to do any and all of it. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. Okay, what happens then, ladies, as a child grows up? The needs of the personality are met, basically. He feels safe. He feels loved. He feels adequate. Do you know what happens then? It's this fifth A. Authenticity. As a result of these needs being met in your life, do you know what happens? The personality becomes more and more healthy. This is when you become basically to be the you that you were intended to be. The real you. Not artificial. No mask. No pretending. No phonies. This is where you're able to reach your fullest potential. Why? Because you're not trying to become somebody else. You now become free what? Just to be you. Not trying to do what everybody else in town is doing, but free to do what? That you were intended to do. This authenticity, ladies, is a need of the personality to be real. Genesis 2:25, in the garden, remember, God says they were naked and unashamed. Naked and unashamed, God says, hey, I can get you back to here where you're able to be honest, authentic with yourselves, with God, and with others. How many of us ladies are being the real us? Are you being a phony? Are you free to be you? Are you free to do those things that you know are right to do? Are you free to do and be what God wants you to be, what you intended to be? Are we trying to be somebody else or do what somebody else is doing? God says the personality has a need to be authentic, real. Real. I had the biggest compliment I'd ever had in South Carolina this weekend. A girl came up to me and she says, Diane, do you know what I like about you? And I said, what? She says, you're real. You're authentic. You're no phony. You just let it all out. We don't let it all out, ladies. It's wisdom. But she says, what you see is what you get. I said, thank you, I think. But you see, ladies, that was a compliment to me. Why? Because I've lived so much of my life with a mask on, trying to impress, trying to pretend, trying to be phony, trying to be somebody else, trying to add this to my repertoire, trying to be all things to all people, so that I wasn't even free to be me. God's freeing me to be me. God's freeing me. He's meeting these unmet needs of the personality, and as they are becoming progressively met, you know what? I'm not having to spend my motivation in life getting these unmet needs met. I'm now, as they're met, the personality's becoming more whole, more healthy, which frees me then for the Holy Spirit in control of my personality to make my personality truly that God intended to be. For the whole personality to take my abilities, my natural and supernatural gifts, and help me to be and to do exactly what God has for me to do. This is what He wants, ladies. The Holy Spirit operating in and through a healthy personality as the vehicle through which He may shine. He wants us free. I want to be free, don't you? To be real? We're not going to be, ladies, unless these needs of the personality have been met. So much for that. Let's see. I think I've gone over that. Oh, let me say this. Say you're here and All the parents met all your needs of the personality and all this. They met your physical needs. They met your personality needs, and you just go on about your life. Well, ladies, you can be a non-Christian, and you can have an authentic personality, and you can have all these needs met, and you can have, to a certain extent, a fairly healthy personality. But apart from Jesus Christ, that personality can never be the personality, the true personality God intended to be. Why? Because we were made what? By Him and for Him. In Him, Colossians 1:16, Acts 17:24 through 28 says, I am the source of life in every area. In me you live and move and have your being. Revelations 4:11 says the same thing. God says, the personality, as healthy as it can be apart from God, can never be truly fulfilled, never truly satisfied, never truly content. Why? It doesn't have the right source. Ladies, we were made by Him and for Him. Only with the Holy Spirit, Christ Himself, at the helm of our personality, operating in and through it, is going to give life true satisfaction, true contentment, true meaning. How do I know that? Listen to these scriptures. Where are you looking for reason for living? Where are you looking for the meaning to life? Listen to what John says, 14:13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water, other than the Lord, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's contentment. 1 Peter 1:18, listen. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Is the life that's been handed down to you, parents, forefathers, an empty way of life? Ladies, are you today here trying to live your life for God, or are we letting God live it in and through us? Or are we even trying to live for Him, period? What's number one in your life? What's your priority? You know what our priorities are, ladies? What we spend time doing. The people we spend time with. Those that I love, I'm going to spend time with. How much time do you and I, ladies, each day spend in the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us? You know, Mary said, she first sat at Jesus' feet to hear His Word. What does Jesus say there? Mary has chosen this good part. Martha scurrying around doing everything, big time busy. And the Lord says, hey, Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen to come apart, sit at my feet, and let me speak to her. And ladies, it's a choice. Things in my life each day clamor for my attention constantly. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Anything to keep me from spending time in the Word of God each day, when that's the source. Ladies, is Jesus Christ number one in our lives? If He is, then the Word of God is the food. You and I aren't going to grow as Christians if we're not in the Word of God. That's the food for spiritual growth. God says, by will, open it up and get in it. It's the source, ladies. It's the food for the Christ life in us. 1 Peter 1:24. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Isaiah 57:20-21. The wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. Have you ever watched the sea, how it keeps moving? We are all that way without God. We don't know where we're going or what we're doing. We're just going to find rest and peace somewhere. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, but not as the world giveth peace. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is on is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 says, lady, what are you living your life for? Do you know that you're in a race? All the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Ladies, let me ask you. John 15 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean, I used to hear that and think, that's not true. I can do a lot of things. Apart from me, you can do nothing means that unless I'm the one living my life in and through you, then it doesn't count for any eternal purposes. It's wood, hay, stubble. God says, what you let me do in and through your life down here on planet Earth, there will be rewards. Anything that you do in and of yourself is burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Ladies, when I stand before Jesus Christ, I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't you? John 6:35, I am the bread of life. No one coming to me will ever be hungry again. Listen to this, Romans 12:2, Living Bible. Don't copy, this is what I was reading to my kids, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person. I told Cindy, at Auburn, darling, you be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. St. Augustine said, or wrote, oh God, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our souls are restless, searching, till they find rest in Thee. Jeremiah 2:13. God told Jeremiah that His people have forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Where are your values today, ladies? Where are we spending our time? What are we spending our time doing? Is it for eternity? Or is it wood, hay, or stubble? Philippians 4:11-13, 19 says, Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content. Have we? Ladies, Paul says, I have learned to be content. He didn't say, hey, I got the insight, and all of a sudden I got it. Paul says, I have learned to be content. I have learned means experience by experience by experience by experience. It's not a one-time deal. Remember, the Christian life, ladies, is a progressive, gradual life. Living it honestly. In this area of meeting these needs or getting them met, it's really helping me, ladies, because in this way, now I'm becoming more and more free because I'm not spending my time or my motivation is not to get these unmets, to become safe, to become loved, to become adequate met, because He's meeting them. And as He's meeting them, I'm becoming freer than what? To be the real me that God intended me to be from the inside out. The real personality. I'm become real to be free to do that which He's got for me to do with my abilities, natural and supernatural. And do you know why this is helping me? With my husband, with my children, with my friends, with anybody? Because God says, hey, when you get these unmet needs met, you become free to serve. Jesus in John 13:3 says, and in John 8:14, He says, I know who I am, and He says, I know why I am. And then you know what then He says? He says, I took up the towel to wash the disciples' feet. You see, ladies, when we get this insight, and we deal with the spiritual, and we deal with the soul, and we deal with the physical that can be taken care of, we become free to serve. Why? I'm able now more and more to meet Bill's needs than I've ever been before because I'm not doing it to get him to do something back to meet my unmet needs. Have you ever noticed how we get angry at our husbands, our friends, when they don't do what we want them to do? And the reason is, many times, not just sin nature, but we do for others what we want them to do back to us. For the love, or whatever, to meet these unmet needs. And as we get these unmet needs of the soul met, ladies, we become free just to serve. I'm becoming free just to serve Bill to meet his needs. He doesn't have to do it back. I like it when he does, but I don't have to have it. Why? I'm just free to serve now. I'm not spending all my time trying to get unmet needs met. They're becoming met, and as they are, I become more and more free, body, soul, and spirit, to become the woman of God he wants us to be. Okay, we've come full cycle now, ladies. See, we're back to spiritual growth. The parents have the children, meet their physical needs, their personality needs, or to point them to Jesus Christ, to come to know the Heavenly Father, who then takes over as the intended source of meeting all of our needs big time. And ladies down there, I put abundant life. Because abundant life can only be accomplished as we take these principles, ladies, and appropriate them in our lives. As you and I experience more and more, or we're not going to experience more and more of the abundant life that Christ promised, ladies, unless we appropriate these principles in our lives day by day. Did you know that? The abundant life, the true abundant life, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, I want you to experience the wholeness of Christ's spirit, soul, and body. And God says, you can know all this insight on the spiritual. You can know all this insight on the soul. You can know the insight on the physical. But he says, you're not going to experience the abundant life or that sense of wholeness if we don't appropriate the principles to each of these three areas, ladies, that we know. By will admitting them, by will acting against the wrong, by will putting on God's thoughts, and by will acting obedience to them. Appropriation is the key to experiencing the real abundant life. I was going to say, oh, this was interesting, I thought. Ian Thomas, in his book, The Mystery of Godliness, and we've said that we are to point our children to Jesus Christ because then he takes over to meet all their needs. And we said that's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that the Bible says first, experience the wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Because why? The spirit is the key. The spirit of man, ladies, is the key. The Holy Spirit in our spirit is the key. Ian Thomas says this, the spirit of man is the key. This is good, listen. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. As translated in Proverbs 20:20, the word candle means lamp. And what electricity is to an electric lamp, and what oil is to an oil lamp, the Holy Spirit is to our human spirit. The human spirit is this unique capacity which God has given to man, which enables him both to receive and be motivated by the very life of God himself. It is only God in you that enables you to function that as he intended you to function as man. Do you know that, ladies? It is only Jesus Christ in us that can enable you, I don't care who you are, to function as God intended you to function. If the Holy Spirit is not in our spirit directing our lives, then you and I are going to never, never, I repeat, live the life God intended us to live. Because it's the spirit controlling our soul and our soul controlling our body. It's Christ in us, ladies, that enables us to become the women of God he wants us to be, spirit, soul, and body. Let me ask you, ladies, is there anyone here today who has never received Jesus Christ into your life? Do you know today without a shadow of a doubt in your life that if I were to die tonight, I would be in heaven facing Jesus face to face? Ladies, the scripture tells us, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. For you to and I experience life, young people, ladies, anybody, as God intended it to be lived, we must have Jesus Christ in our lives. The Holy Spirit must be at the helm. And he's not unless we've invited Jesus Christ to come into our lives and to take us over and to make us over to be the woman of God he wants us to be. Ladies, do you have that assurance? I can remember the first time when I received Jesus Christ, and I was felt very inferior and very inadequate. And I remember a pastor came to our church one day, and he says, all of those who know without a shadow of a doubt that they belong to Jesus Christ, that they're his child, would they raise their hands? Well, I wanted to because I knew I was, but I was afraid to. I was afraid to do anything. And so I kind of went, you know. And when he got through, he says, let me tell you something. If you've repented of your sins, if you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, 1 John tells us 5, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, that you have Jesus Christ living in and through you here on earth. But what does he say? This has got to be done first. And so he says, if anybody asks you after this, he says, and anybody says, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? You bop that hand up. I needed that. That gave me assurance. Anybody asked me after that if I knew Jesus Christ? Man, I was the first one with my hand up. I know. Because I feel like it? No. Because I'm not even thinking? No. But God says it. And because He says it, I can say it. Let me ask you, ladies, are you sure without a shadow of a doubt you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? What's going on? Oh, good. Hey! I like that. That is good. If not, ladies, before this day ends, or even as I pray, I wish that you would pray with me. And if you've never received Jesus Christ, I want you to pray with me to receive Jesus Christ today so that you can say, on this Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I received Jesus Christ into my life, and I know it without a shadow of a doubt. Doesn't matter what anybody says, and I'll invite him in, and he comes in and he says, and you can believe it because I said it. Let me say one other thing before I close in prayers, ladies. And that is, as Christians, what's the time, Lou? Is it over? Okay, let me say this quickly and then we'll close. Ladies, I said this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Growth in your life as a Christian comes from the needs that are in our lives. God takes those needs and sends us to the Heavenly Father for us to get what is required to meet those needs. Now listen, just as importantly as growth for us, does He use needs to send us to Him, to let Him meet those needs, but just as importantly for us as Christians, in our service, watch, God wants to send people to you, and He wants you on the lookout for, in witnessing and helping others, to watch and wait for the hungry, the needy heart. Did you know that? If there's to be abiding fruit. You see, God will give us discernment. Is this soul serious or is they not? Is they not? Are they not? But as God uses needs in our lives for us to grow as Christians, God also uses needs in the lives of those around us. And as we're tuned in, God can get us to those people with those needs, the hungry hearts, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. To meet their unmet personality needs. To meet their physical needs if there should be some. But be on the lookout, lady, for hungry hearts. Because it's in the hungry hearts where there's a need that there's going to be fruit. Okay, what do we see? God says, hey, you're my child. I promise to meet your physical needs, your personality needs, and your spiritual needs. Now, ladies, can we beat that? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your Word. How we thank You that Jesus Christ, because of Calvary, His death on the cross, we see Your love for us. Thank You, Lord, that the one that knows us best loves us the most. Lord, I pray right now if there's one young person or one lady or anyone here who has never received Jesus Christ into their lives and they want to know without a shadow of a doubt that they will pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Thank You for dying on that cross for my sins. Thank You for arising from the dead that I may arise to this new life, that I may have Your life living in and through me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take me over and make me over into the woman of God You want me to be. And now, Lord, I pray for each of us here who know You as Savior and Lord, that we will come to You with the needs we have, that we will know they are fathered, filtered, that we will let You bring up what's there to show us the needs in our physical, in our soul, and in our spiritual, and to allow You to meet them because of Your power, because of Your equipping, because of Your counsel, because of Your love, and because of Your encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a nice week.